You're listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas.
Welcome back to another special edition of The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. I'm back once again to help you fans celebrate the last 20 years of this incredible competition. And in this episode, I've got a guy sitting in front of me that if you look back at all he's done in his career and see the way that he's performed in the most important moments, especially in the 2014 EuroLeague Finals, you would never believe his whole story, just how far he's made it. Please let me welcome Panathinaikos point guard Tyrese Rice to The Crossover. Welcome, my man. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, man. It's good to have you. But, you know, I've read up on you a little bit over the last couple of weeks, and I got your nickname as being Reese. Mm-hmm. That's got to be like a family thing, right? It sounds like something that came from like when...
Actually, one of my boys in college started calling me that. I didn't really have a nickname like that growing up, like people, Ty. My mom used to call me Bud. So, I mean, it was...
Bud, what's that?
I honestly have no idea where it came from. I got no idea where it came from. But she still called me that every
she
once in a while
now. She still calls you Bud.
For sure. Not as often as she used to, but it definitely still comes out. But I don't know, Reese just, you know, probably from my later high school years to college, and it just kind of stuck.
I'm thinking, like, if they would have just waited a little bit and, like, checked out your career, they would have just called you Mr. Cluz. Because I got to do the game tomorrow night when you play Madrid. I'm going to be calling you Mr. Cluz through the whole game because you just seem to step up always. We'll get back into that, but if it was up to me, I would have called you as Mr. Cluz. I want to go back to your early life. When did you know that basketball was it? Was it like before high school, during high school? Like, when did you catch it and say, damn, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life?
I was very young, probably 9, 10 years old.
Like I was very young.
Yeah. Like, I had a...
And where were you playing?
Just, you know, junior teams, rec leagues, YMCAs, mm-hmm. at the parks, you know, just wherever
you can.
Yeah, wherever it was a ball and a hoop and some jerseys, we was playing. It didn't, you know, we didn't need much, you know, to go out and hoop.
Right. You play any other sports?
Played football young, played baseball when I was young, but...
What position football?
Safety.
Safety.
Yeah.
You're too small for a safety, ain't you?
Nah.
You got the speed though, right?
Yeah.
I hear you. What about baseball? I was a pitcher.
First base.
Man, you can't play first base. What are you, 6 foot?
Yeah, I was young. I'm when I was young.
You've been 6 foot young. Since you were young.
No. I was just younger. Like, I was just a kid when I played all these different sports. I stopped playing. By the time I got to high school, I wasn't playing any of it.
Oh, okay. So you were born in Salisbury, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But you grew up in Virginia.
Yeah.
And that was because of a separation with your parents.
My mom,
I kind of do my research on this
thing. My mom got married to my stepfather, and he was from Richmond. He lived in Richmond, so we moved to Richmond.
Okay, so you moved to Richmond from there.
Yeah.
And that's where you started playing?
I was playing before that.
How old were you when you went to Richmond?
9.
Okay.
I was 9 years old.
So you weren't balling yet?
I was playing, for sure.
At 9?
Before that.
Really?
I was probably 4 or 5 when I first started playing.
Yeah, but not like.
No,
like,
I played in
like
7,
playground
8.
Balling.
No. I played in leagues when I was 4 or 5.
Get out.
I played against the 7, 8, and 9 year olds when I was 4 or 5. I'm serious, though. I'm serious. I played in leagues when I was young. My grandparents got videos.
They got videos of it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, because there's not too much information on you. There's enough for me to kind of get an idea, but I'd rather get it from you.
Mm-hmm.
So you were born to your mom. Mm-hmm. She was married to some. She got married to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
and then y'all went to Virginia.
Yeah.
And you started playing ball.
Correct.
So your real dad was never really a big part of your life.
Not at all.
And so you went with your mom, and then that's when you settled there in Virginia.
Correct.
And that was at high school and the whole
Correct.
Thing.
Correct, everything, middle school, high school, everything.
High school, man, y'all, you just killed it.
High school was great, man, some great years.
04 or 05, I was looking, you averaged 27 points, 6 assists a game, 5 rebounds. And I always say, like, I love I was a big man, so I love a point guard to get me 5 rebounds a game. You know? You know those long rebounds that the coaches bitch at you?
Right.
You know, the big guys like, to get it. Box out, get a rebound. I'm like, where's my guards at?
You need to go out and get it.
But the only thing I'm looking at, like, 27 points, I wanted to shoot.
Oh, you'd have got your shots, for sure.
Only 5?
A lot of that, man, just my senior year, you know, we were so good my senior year. By the fourth quarter, we weren't playing much.
Oh, so you,
it wasn't, trust me, I averaged maybe, I think I averaged 27. I had another kid, averaged 17, another kid, averaged 16. Like, we averaged about 80 points.
Again,
high school team, yeah.
A high school team.
Yeah.
And so, that was, back then, was it 32 minutes? Was it 8 minute
eight
quarters?
8 minute quarters, yeah.
And y'all averaging 80 something a game?
About 80, about 75, 80 for sure.
So y'all won the state?
Nah, we lost in the Final Four. We lost in the team that won the state. The same team twice, my junior year and then my senior year. They won state both times.
What's that feel like?
What much you could do? What can you do? What can you do? They were a bit better.
How good was it? I mean, who was playing the other team? Any big names?
Calvin Baker went to UVA.
Right.
Stephon Welsh went to Arkansas. Duke Cruz went to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had guys. They had a squad. It was just me that went to guys. It was just me that went high major.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, none of these other names. You're not giving me any names that I.
No, they in high school they were. You right. know, and they had great college careers too.
But we've all been through people in high school that went on to college but just didn't make any further.
Yeah, they went to college and had good careers though. Stephon had a good 4-year career at Arkansas.
At Arkansas.
Calvin went to James Madison first and then transferred to UVA. He started there. Duke started his first couple of years at Tennessee.
I see that you won the AP co-player of the year. It's a co-player of the year now with those numbers. Who shared that award with you?
Calvin.
It was Calvin.
Yeah, because they won the state. So we had to co. We knew who the one was, but we had to put co.
That's what I was about to ask you.
No, we knew.
I was just about to ask you. I'm like, come on, man. I don't know you that well yet. I don't know you that well yet, but I got to be thinking, even back then, you were like,
you know,
I'm not ready to share that award.
And just keep it moving. Ain't nothing you could do about it.
Before I get into like the personal stuff, but I usually don't get into the personal stuff until later, but I think your story is different than anybody else's I've ever dealt with. So I want to get into it now. You're a single father.
I wouldn't say a single father, but yeah, my son lives with me.
Your son lives with you, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
How old is he now?
14.
He's 14 now. You're 32.
Yeah.
So he was around when you were 18, if my math is correct.
Yeah.
You went to BC.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when you went to BC to play?
18.
18.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about it, just a little bit. Talk to me about, I mean, I remember my 4 years of college.
Mm-hmm.
I remember how difficult it was. How, even though it's the best four years of your life, so we say as Americans.
Right.
I remember all the shit I had to go through. You know, wake up 6 o'clock in the morning, practice 3 times a day, go to class, travel.
Mine was a little different, but
yeah, I mean,
it was a little different.
Yo, I can't imagine what it's like, you know, bringing up a child also.
Honestly,
what was that like for you?
Through the majority of my college years up until my last year, my son was with his mom and my family back in Richmond.
Okay.
So honestly, you know, I was gonna stop playing and move back. And my family and her family were the ones that, you know, basically were like, nah, you need to keep playing
going.
And you know, we'll figure everything out. And, you know, you got support and all of this. And, you know, that was the only reason why I stayed, you know, at BC. I was going to come back and try to go to VCU so I can be at home.
Right.
And, you know, just to be closer. But honestly, us being in the ACC was very big also because I was constantly back.
Right.
In North Carolina, in Virginia, and I was always going a day early so that I could go to see my son and everything. So I would come a day earlier than the team so I could go and, you know, and see my son and hang out, you know, and spend that time while I was in college.
A lot of Americans that might be listening to this play college basketball too, and that ain't that easy to do.
No, not at all.
Going a day earlier than everybody else because you got classes.
Yeah.
You travel as a team. How did that work out? I mean, how did you?
Just based it off a schedule, class schedule, like everything. And if I obviously if I had some kind of exam or something that I had to be there for, obviously I couldn't do it. But
who was your coach?
Al Skinner.
And he was he knew the deal, obviously.
So yeah, he knew the situation from the beginning. He knew from the beginning.
What other offers did you have other than BC? I mean, because BC's not like the best, obviously, ACC school basketball-wise.
Correct, correct.
What other offers did you have?
I had Ohio University.
That's too far away. And that's not ACC either.
Nah, not at all. Right. I had... I don't know. I had a bunch of random ones. Yeah. And then later on came like Arizona. Like some teams came late. But
right.
Honestly, I thought, my feeling was I was high major. And BC presented the best opportunity for me, I thought. They had a senior point guard who is also one of my best friends now, Lewis Hennett.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be coming in basically backing him up. And then playing alongside him, you know, to end games and stuff like that.
Right.
And, you know, I knew once he left, then I would be able to step in as a starter. So I thought that was the best situation.
You played all 36 games freshman year. Not too many people.
Yeah.
Not back then anyways. Now it's kind of changed a little bit.
It's normal,
you know, the
now.
One and done and everything else.
Correct.
But I think back when you played, it was right about the end of where freshmen were still like, yeah, we'll sit you out for a little bit. You played 36 games, scored about 9 points a game. So you just weren't stepping in at the end either.
Nah.
I mean, you were a big part of that team.
Yeah, just went in there and just and hooped. I mean, we had guys that attracted a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was one of the better shooters on that team, so we had to have shooting on the floor.
Right.
With Craig Smith in the paint, Dudley in the paint. Those both 20 and 10 guys, so you had to respect it and, you know, just ready to step in.
But BC was always a defensive team.
Yeah.
It was just hard-nosed defense.
That's how we were my freshman year, for sure.
Right.
Freshman and sophomore year.
When I was living at that time, it was 2008, 2009, I think, right?
That was my last year. That was my senior year.
That was your senior year. So it was like
05, 06.
05, 06 was your freshman. So 06, 07,
uh-huh.
I was out of basketball, man. I retired at 2000, and I went to Charleston, South Carolina. I moved away, and I started working a little bit with CBS and doing some stuff. And I was doing the Big East and the ACC. Mm-hmm. And I got to be honest with you, man. I didn't like basketball at that time. I was just like, I just want to get away from it.
Right.
I was done with it. It was my whole life. And I saw you against North Carolina drop 34 in the first half. It was the first time I've been excited about basketball. I've been waiting for this damn podcast with you to tell you this, man. It was like you were kind of the guy that got me back into basketball,
man.
Because I love dominant players. I love guys that come out. And you kind of look at the other team and go, come on, man, stop me.
Right.
You ain't going to stop me. You dropped 34 in the first half in North Carolina.
Yeah.
What? Tell me about it.
I couldn't even, I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you what I was thinking. You know, I couldn't tell you.
It's sophomore year, right?
It's my junior year.
Yeah, that's junior year. Okay.
Junior year. Honestly, I couldn't tell you much about it. I don't even really remember a whole lot, like, live stuff in the game. I can look back at the game and remember some
right.
stuff, but during the game, like how I was feeling during the game, I couldn't even tell you. The only thing I remember from the game was being in the huddle one time after maybe the first or second TV timeout, and I was just sitting there, and one of my teammates was tapping me. He was like, yo, like tapping me.
Right.
I'm like, what's up? He's like, yo, you all right? I was like, yeah.
What mean you all right?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, because I was like so zoned
so
out,
focused.
And he was like, yo, you good? I was like, yeah, what's up? And he was like, oh, all right. Just went back out there. That's one of the only things I really remember, like specific things that I remember, you know, from that game.
So is that what we all say in the zone, so to speak?
If I mean, it was ever a zone, and that's got to be it.
It's got to be as close as this guy to
become.
It's
right? got to be it.
What, I mean, there's so many things as players that motivate us mm-hmm. as we play the game. In that game, for example, or whatever you did, because I mean, I'm only picking out one or two games. So we don't have time to talk about all the games that you played.
Right.
What motivated you to play like that? Is it the history of who you're playing against, a Dean Dome, North Carolina? Is it the moment, the fact that you're playing it? Because you're playing against guys that are future NBA prospects. They've been NBA prospects since they left high school.
Correct.
What is it in that situation that motivates you to play as good as you can be? Not that you walk out saying, I'm going to score 46 tonight.
Right. You're just going to go out there.
You're just going to go out and play your best game.
Right. I think the moment, the lights, you know, games like that, the lights is on. Everybody's going to be watching that. I think one of the biggest things for me is, you know, the respect of your peers.
Right.
I've been big on that. Like, I've never been one to really care what management and coaches and all that. Like, I never really cared about what they thought of me. You know, as a player, I always played for the respect of my peers. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys that I competed against, those guys that I competed with. I've always been big on that. Like, if I have that respect from them, then and they get that respect from me, then I understand that, you know, everything is mutual and there's nothing bad anybody could say because I have that, you know, respect from those guys. So
does that respect open up the opportunity for you at the end of games that you've done over your career to just step up?
I don't know.
I'm trying to figure this out. So people, I mean, this is the crossover, man. This is my show. I'm trying to figure this out because I don't think I've talked to anybody who's done it as much as you have in big moments. We'll get to it later on, obviously, but is it that respect that makes you feel more comfortable in the last 5 minutes of a game, for example? Because the next year you went at the same place, you dropped 25 and had 8 assists. Yeah. And I was reading up on that game. I didn't see that game. I saw the other one.
Yeah.
That you got everybody else involved in the game early on, especially the young guys.
Right.
And then took over at the end.
Right.
I mean, is it a conscious thing? You don't think about that. I played this game a million times. Mm-hmm. I've never thought that way before a game.
I think when you know your role on the team and you know what you can do and you have, you know, that feel that you can do it at any time, I guess. So it's not about you coming out and dominating from minute one to minute 40. It's about having some other guys with you. Because you know and you have that feel that, you know, once the game gets a little, you know, iffy, you're not sure about which way it's going to go, then you can be the one to step up and put it over the top. And your guys have confidence late in games. Say you drive, they double you, you got to kick it out to a guy. He been confident because he been hooping in the whole first half.
Right.
So now he's ready to take that shot. Maybe if he wasn't doing that in the first half and you kicked that out to him, he ain't ready to take that shot. So it's like,
let me put the other side of the coin because I played this game too.
Yeah.
Like when you're starting to take over a game and you kick the ball to somebody, in their mind they're like, shit, I gotta make this shot, man, because Reese is gonna kill me if I don't make this shot because he would have probably
made it.
I'm
gonna throw it to you again. If it's the same exact play again and next time down, I'm going to throw it to you again. And I'm going to expect you to shoot the ball again. It ain't about whether you make it or miss it. You know, it's a make or miss game. Like,
right.
It ain't.
Right.
I mean, you practice for hours. You work out in the summers. You get the ball in the kick out, shoot the ball. What else you going to do?
But do you know in that situation who you're getting the ball to?
Yeah, you have an understanding.
You know, you know who's going to stick the three and who's more of a penetrator.
It's about, you know, making sure guys are in certain positions. And you know, maybe if you want one of your shooters, you want the better shooter in the corner. You want the driver at the top. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you kick it to the driver so he can throw it to the corner for the man to shoot. Or vice versa so he can drive from the top. You know, it's like, I don't know. You think about that.
Hold on, let me ask you a question. Let's say you penetrate to the basket. You see a guy out in the corner. I'm not getting any names. I'm not getting any teams or anything. You see a guy out in the corner, but you know he ain't a three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
If he's a three-point shooter, you give him that ball as quick as you can. Mm-hmm. You put some velocity behind it, and you get it in his hands as quick as you can.
Correct.
If he's not a good three-point shooter, you slow that pass down a little bit to make sure he ain't good.
I'm going
to
slow it down so he know he got to shoot it. And he got some time to.
He got time to think about it.
Not necessarily think about it, but get his mechanics and everything together. Because
right.
I mean, either way, it's got to go up.
You that in tune in the game for real?
For sure.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Damn, that's incredible, man. Yeah, for sure. So you're tearing up the ACC. Cause, I mean, you tore it up. You got all these damn NBA prospects all over the place. But you got a little boy also. And he's in Virginia at the time. How do you separate what you're doing on the court and what you need to do off the court also? Because, I mean, you're not in a position, obviously, by NCAA standards to provide for your child, unfortunately. How difficult is that as a player and as a father?
You know, very. Being that young, your source of income aren't much. And playing college basketball, especially at that time, you can't really work. Like, you can't do anything. You really couldn't do anything back then. Maybe now they're a little more lenient because they understand it's like, yo, like, you have to make kids do stuff. But, I mean, honestly, if it wasn't for my family and her family, you know, just to support all around, you know, I'm not sure what I would have done. I would have had to, for sure, I would have had to leave school.
Right.
You know, go back to Richmond, maybe work. You know, maybe I would have kept playing, maybe not. But, you know, just put it in, you know, my family put it in their hands and her family put it in their hands and just kind of, you know, made it happen.
The life as a professional ball player is fragile because of so many different things, whether you get the right opportunity, the right moment, the right team. There's so many other things. But in this situation, you had to depend on so many other people to help you get to the point where you might have an opportunity to move on. What's that feel like for you as you're going on? Do you feel like indebted to these people? Do you feel like, I mean, what are you feeling? Because without these people, you don't have this opportunity.
Most definitely. And they know exactly, you know, how I feel about them, and they know how appreciative I am. It's nothing that my mom can't ask me that I won't do. It's nothing that her family can't ask me that I won't do, just because I understand that without them in that situation, then we wouldn't be in this situation right now. Or, I mean, maybe we would, but it would have been
different.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's just about, you know, thanking the people to help you.
Excuse me to say this, but I don't think it would have been better.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so either, because, you know, opportunities would have been different.
Right.
You know, circumstances would have been different. You know, I don't know. It's just, we just really don't know. I'm glad that it worked out the way it did, though.
Exactly. How long of your life, when you played ball, did you dream about being in the league, in the NBA, and doing that draft thing and hearing your name in the draft?
Ever since I really could play basketball and understand, that's always been the goal.
Right.
Forever. Even now, if an NBA team called me, I would go. You know what I'm saying? Unlikely, but I'm just saying. You know, but, you know, that's always been the ultimate goal. That's always been you know, the reason why I approach, you know, the game the way that I do.
What did you study at BC?
Sociology and psychology.
You graduate?
Yeah.
Draft day, your name wasn't called. What's going through your mind? I mean, were you expecting it? Were you expecting to get called? I mean, your number.
I wasn't sure. Honestly, I wasn't sure.
You were like me. You was like,
I wasn't sure. I thought that I had done enough, but it was also a lot of questions. You know, it was a lot of questions.
Was it size?
Size, quickness, athleticism.
Quickness? Athleticism.
And then it was, you know, off the court. It was just a lot of questions. And I think that played a big part of, you know, me not getting drafted or me being like on the fence because of, you know, those things. And those things, I can't change those things. But all I knew is when you put the ball on the floor, it's in the lines, ball. Then
my old agent, the only agent I ever had, he told me, he's like, look at, he said, you put that round ball in the orange basket, and that's all you need to do. Right. Let me take care of the rest. But do you think that the NBA had anything to do with your family situation, the child? I mean, I don't see where it could, but you know how picky people are sometimes.
Yeah, but. I mean, who knows? I mean, honestly, I didn't really think about it a whole lot. I looked at it as a opportunity for me to, you know, go somewhere, show, and hopefully get another opportunity to go and play. Because like I said, I wasn't so sure. Like, I thought that I had done enough to get drafted.
Number-wise, you did.
Yeah, number-wise, and
And you played in the ACC for days. Correct. Like you played in, you know.
I mean, if you, like, I can break it down a little bit differently than what they would probably break it down. Like, I mean, if you look at the numbers that I had through college and the offense that we ran when I was in college, I'm pretty sure that there's not another guard that wouldn't have been able to do that.
No.
But if you would have gave me a pick and roll spaced out offense in college, I can't even, I can't really imagine what the numbers would have been.
If you'd have been in a Dean Smith type offense, just wide open.
Running up and down the court and pick and rolls and all that. Yeah. Like, and I got five pros out there. Come on. That would have been the easiest 10 assist average ever. Easy.
See, now you're talking easy. Now you're talking my game. Give me the rock,
that
man.
That would have been easy. That would have been 10 would have been a light night. Like, that would have been easy for sure.
So the NBA doesn't come up, and you're kind of on the cusp right there of, like, where Europe was mostly about big men back in the day. Like, in my day, it was all about big men. They weren't looking at point guards as much as they are now.
Especially not rookie point
guards. Right, exactly. Yeah. Especially someone that didn't have any experience, NBA-wise, anyways.
For sure.
So in your mind, like, you're like, man, I got a kid. He's four at the time, three or four.
Three, about to turn four.
Right. Well, what am I going to do? And was Europe a part of your plan?
Never.
It wasn't. And you like me, you didn't even know where Europe was.
I couldn't tell you nothing about Europe. Not one thing. I couldn't tell you anything.
Hey, man, I love talking to guys like you to tell me the truth because because I'm 54 now, right? I can say anything I want at this point. It doesn't matter to me. I can be as stupid as I want to be. Yeah. The only thing I knew about Europe is my mom was Italian, so I knew, like, Italy looked like a boot on the map. That's all I knew. That's all I knew, man. And as Americans, we grow up very isolated.
For sure.
So when these opportunities come up, and now you're with your son and the family and everything else, and your first opportunity is in Greece, in Panionios, what makes you take that one?
Honestly, it was my agent that, you know, convinced me that that was the best situation at the time. And honestly, it probably was. We were supposed to be Euro Cup, but something happened with some sanctions, so we didn't play Euro Cup. They were Euro League the year before.
Right, right.
Supposed to be Euro Cup, but something happened, whatever. Greek League at the time was probably the second best league to Spain, for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of pros was here. There's a lot of good basketball. I thought that, you know, Athens, a great city to be in, you know, for a start. But to me, you know, everything in Europe was the same to me. I was away from home, you know, like, it didn't, you know, not that I never been one of those people that's been like a homesick person or anything like that.
Right.
But, it was just a different opportunity, but
At that point, when you went over there, what was the situation with Ashawn?
He was coming back and forth.
He was going back and forth.
Yeah, I got him a passport and stuff like that. And so, you know, he wasn't in school yet. So he was just basically in daycare and stuff. So my mom would bring him over. Go back. Then my aunt, she was with me, I don't know, for maybe 4 or 5 of the months.
Right. So living with you in Greece.
Yeah. So she would go back and forth.
God, that's a sacrifice, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Like I said, man, for my family, they did a lot. They did a lot. Like, I'm forever indebted to them.
Right.
Like, because of what they, you know, what they've done, you know, throughout my life.
I don't have time to go over your whole career because EuroLeague wants me to talk about the 20th anniversary and your big Final Four thing. But like I told you before we started, this is your story. So, and I'm going to throw a question at you. It might be a little bit difficult to answer. It might be easy to answer. I don't know. Yeah. You have this situation, this family situation that you've been dealing with since you were 17, 18 years old. You've gone through college. You're in your first year of Greece. You play for 12 teams in 12 different cities, 7 different countries. Wouldn't life been a little bit easier if you look for like a 3-year deal, a 4-year deal? You didn't change so many times, so many countries.
Probably. But I was always looking, you know, bigger. Like everywhere I was, I always felt like I could go somewhere better. If I had we won. First of all, the main thing is if we won and you had a good year, you could go up higher again. You could go higher again. And that's level-wise, money-wise, like, you know, everything. And so, you know, I always sign 1+1 deals.
Right.
I've had opportunities to sign 2-year deals. Only time I signed a 2-year deal was when I was with Kimke, and I signed an extension for 2 more years.
Right.
But, you know, obviously I thought the Barcelona deal was better.
Right.
But, you know, I just always, bet on myself.
I guess, yeah, you bet on yourself, but you're also betting on the family. I mean, you're thinking about your future.
Correct.
Through day one. I mean, you know this game ends
at some point.
At a certain time. Correct. Man. Yeah. We're not rock singers or, you know, we're not these guys that are going to be, like, doing this till we're 70, obviously. Right. Unless you start putting a mic in your hand like me. I might have 15 more years in you to let me, you know what I mean? But I ain't making the kind of money you all are making. But I spoke with a guy who cannot remind me any more of you is Keith Langford.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is I'm looking at all the stuff, like, you, I mean, pretty much y'all followed each other. You took his place in China.
Right.
That he was here last year. I talked to him, I think, in the same damn hotel. Might have been the same room. Keith and I had the greatest interview, man, because I finally found a player who just speaks his mind. You know what I mean? I love talking to him. But he went through the same thing. Mm-hmm. He had 12 teams in 12 years and whatever. And he said the same thing you said. Yeah. He's like, I just look to get better every year.
Right.
And to me, I might be wrong about it because everybody's different. Everybody thinks their own way. I think you get better as being in the same place throughout a certain amount of time, be with the same players, and you know what I mean? Continue to go. I mean, not that your numbers ever, I mean, your numbers were always the same no matter where you went. Mm-hmm. So do you think it would have been better if you would have stayed with a team for 3, 4, 5 years?
I think that depends on where you are. Let's say you in Madrid. You here in Madrid. I mean, if I was in Madrid, I wouldn't think about going nowhere else.
Right.
Because you would be with, you know, they keep their teams together.
Right.
They might change one piece here, one piece there. Right. Every few years, so you know, it's just
easier
different
to make that change.
Right. It's just a different circumstance. Cesc, I mean, well, this year they made changes, but I think that was because they had to. But right. Years before,
but they've always kept that base.
Right, they always had their clear cut. Team Barca was the same years before, but I know I never was in a situation like that. The only situation that I was in that I thought we should have all stayed together was the Maccabi situation.
Right.
But you know that was on them. That wasn't on us. So.
You took off after that.
Yeah.
After y'all, I mean, we're gonna get into that now coming up. But you took off and went to Barcelona, and I said this to Keith, and I hope you don't get offended by it because he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
The perception that a person has looking from the outside looking in is if a person is on 12 different teams in 12 different cities in 12 different years, whatever, is a negative perception. Like,
it don't matter.
Like, yeah, I know, but you know where I'm going with it, right?
I know exactly where you're going. I know exactly where you're going. Yeah.
What do you say to the people that think that way? I mean, we'll get into like the Barcelona thing right now, but that's the only issue I've ever heard that you had.
Yeah. I would tell them not to just look at the fact that I went to, you know, 11 different teams, but look at the teams, look at where they were, look where I went next.
And look what you did.
Right.
While you were there.
Right. So it never was just about me being, I don't know, I guess a bad teammate or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you can call any of my teammates and nobody will ever say anything bad.
Right.
So, you know, you have to look at the level, the accomplishments, look at, you know, the teams. And I think it was always a step up.
Because perception's an ugly thing.
Because
nobody knows the real story of what's going on inside. Because
and they too afraid to ask.
Well, of course. but not only are you too afraid to ask, but sometimes they might be too afraid to get the answer also.
Correct.
But the thing is, like, I look at it as, and I'm going to be real honest with you about my ignorance, I didn't know your story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know the story about your little boy. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the story that you had a kid when you were 17, 18. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that story, I'm like, well, I get it now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But why is that story not out there as much as it should be? Honestly. Is it just the fact that you're like, look at, I don't care. I live my life. I do my thing. And
yeah, I mean, my son is pretty much is very present. Both of them, they know
people know, they understand. So it's mean, I guess it's a more about if you really want to know about somebody or if you just want to, you know, keep your general,
right,
let's say, perception of who you think they are. Some people want to know, some people don't.
It's just such a good story. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like everything I've looked into, I've talked to so many people about you. Mm. And I'm like, damn, I saw the EuroLeague video that they did on you this morning. Mm. And I told my wife, I'm like, man, I might be a little bit sensitive, but this guy's got me crying over here, man. I started tearing up this morning. She's like, you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'll make it. Don't worry. I just want to make sure I get through this interview tonight.
Right.
You know,
right.
But it is a special story. And it's, yeah. And it's one you don't hear very often from anybody. That's why I'm trying to get it out there a little bit.
Yeah, it's different.
After the what we're going to talk about now, the 2014 final, you went to Barcelona. That was the only issue that anybody really knows about with you.
I went
you.
To Russia first.
Well, you were,
Kim,
yeah,
then went Barcelona. To Kim.
And then after Kimki, my bad, you went to Barcelona.
Yeah.
What happened in Barcelona? And I told you we could talk about this. We don't have to talk about it. We could, you know, you do whatever you want. It's interesting, though, because you've never had any issues anywhere else.
Ever.
Right. And I researched you. Mm. And I researched you.
Ever. Never had any issues. So I let you, you know, kind of
just
take that, you know, take it how you want to take it. But
so 12 different teams, 12 cities, and no issues but one.
Correct.
What are we supposed to take from that?
The problem ain't always, you know, what they put out there. The things that they tell the people is not always how things went. Always two sides to a story.
It seemed like you got to the point where you needed to be vocal about it.
Yeah, I could have, but I didn't.
You did a little bit at first, right. but then you stepped away.
Right. I mean, sometimes it just ain't worth it to say much, you know, while you're still playing. I thought it's better for me to just, you know, wait. It'll be a time will come when I give the entire detail.
Come on, man. You're on the crossover, man, with Joe
Lucas. I'm still playing right now. But
so I got to get
you come check me one more time.
I'll take it a couple more years.
And I can give you the whole spiel. But
I hear you.
Honestly, you know. It is what it is, you know.
I'm not looking for any hot takes. Don't worry. This show ain't like that. Don't worry about it.
I ain't worried.
So
we good.
This is the 20th anniversary edition of the crossover with me, Joe R. Lucas. So mm-hmm. We got to get deep inside it.
Okay.
With all due respect to other clubs, man, you arrive in Maccabi, which is one of the greatest basketball clubs of all time. But you know this at this time because you've played all through Europe.
Right.
You know what the deal is. You know what you got yourself into. Is your boy with you then?
He was with me for maybe like 3 or 4 months.
3 or 4 months?
Yeah.
Before you went to Maccabi or at Maccabi?
Oh, no. He was with me before Maccabi the whole time.
The whole time?
When I got to Maccabi, he was there for maybe like 3 months, but then he started school and everything, so it was
okay.
It was better for him to be.
How long was he out in Europe with you during these years?
Until I went to Maccabi. Yeah.
And what? So he was just getting to that age where he was
starting like to get into school and everything. Yeah.
And the whole thing.
Exactly.
So we went back there. So, I love me some Tel Aviv, man. It's one of my favorite cities in all of Europe, man.
Great.
But as Americans, you know, it doesn't have a great reputation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of like BS stories about what goes on there and how bad it is, how difficult it is.
Correct.
When you went there with your son, was that before you signed there, was that an issue? Was that something you had to consider?
I think it's always, the safety is always something you got to consider, but I talked to so many people and nobody ever had problems. So it's, you know, why would I be the only one to have, you know, to have problems? So, you know, I felt comfortable. They made me feel very comfortable while I was there, you know, whatever I needed, whatever my son needed, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, they took care of it and took care of it like in a timely fashion. So it was, that was easy.
They're not just one of the greatest clubs because they win.
Correct.
They're one of the greatest clubs because of the way they treat people, the fans,
correct,
the people. It's just, I love those people.
Yeah.
Back in my day, I wanted to go back in there and play so bad, man. Yeah. I would have done everything to go there and play. Yeah. But they weren't paying enough back in the day, man.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, nah, I got to stay out. My first crossover, my second interview I ever did, but the first one that aired was your coach at Maccabi, David Blatt. Was it your first time with an American coach over here in Europe?
Yep.
What was that like?
It was a change. It was different.
I love watching him coach.
Yeah.
But I never had to play for him either.
Right.
How difficult was it? Was it easier? Was it more difficult? Was it?
I think it was a little bit of both.
Right.
It was a little bit of both because me coming in, he didn't know me that well, you know, coming in.
Did you come in together?
No, he came in before me, the year before, I think.
He was here year before you?
I think he came the year before.
Okay.
I think. I could be wrong.
So he had to know something about you to sign you.
Yeah, he did, but...
But didn't really know
it
you.
It wasn't, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like I was his guy, you know, like type of thing. But we built a mutual respect for each other that translated, you know, onto the basketball court. Mm. And, you know, it took time. Like, we bumped heads a few times.
Right.
I disagreed with some things that he wanted to do. He disagreed with some things that I did on the court. But we found that middle ground. And, you know, I had a lot of respect for him. You know, for that and taking
Ricky
that
was his man, right? Ricky Hickman.
Oh, Ricky was the guy.
Ricky was the man at the time at that team. Sure. So he was more, I'm assuming, you know, getting him into the game and so on. Because from what I talked to people, you and Alex, Tyus, were not in the doghouse.
We weren't playing. I was on my way out.
You were on your way out.
I was getting ready to go back to Munich.
Well, Alex was playing less than you.
Yeah, but Alex was under a 2-3 year deal or something like that. I was on a 1+1.
You were on a 1+1.
Yeah, with my own option, so.
Because you were getting, you were getting like 17, 18 minutes a game. I think Alex was getting like 10 and throughout the regular season of the EuroLeague.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, I'll give you 17 and some change.
Maybe.
Come on, man. I did my research,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, but that 17 and change is like an average. Like one game it was like 7. And then another game it'd be like so that's why I'm saying maybe. It wasn't it was consistently that.
And if I know you, the ones at 7 hurt a lot more than the ones at like 25.
Come on, man.
how hard is that, man? Because like in my day, man, I was lucky enough, man, to play like 34, 35. I knew I was getting 34 minutes a game.
Right.
And I might get 38.
It's different. You know, it's different, especially throughout your life. Like, I probably never played less than 30 minutes in my whole life.
Right. If you did, it was 29.5 or something like that.
Yeah, something like, so, you know, it was different. It's just a different situation to be in.
And this is in the middle of your career. It's not like this is your last couple years, you know what I mean, where you say, okay, well, yeah, maybe I could suck this up for 3 years and make some money.
Correct.
This is like right in the middle of it. Yeah. So now you're thinking, yeah, man, this guy's hurting my future, too.
Right.
You know?
Honestly, man, it taught me a lot. It taught me that, you know, the game is not just about, you know, what you can do as an individual. It's more about what you can do, you know, to help the team. You know, we had a lot of great vets on that team. Devin Smith, David Blue,
Panini.
We had guys, Joe Ingles, we had guys. And they had, you know, they had all played it the high SoFo. They had all played it all the high levels, they had won at high levels. Mm-hmm. And so it made me sit back and really watch them and really look at their approach to the game, really look at, you know, their attitude, you know, and just try to figure out where I could help, you know. And you can ask them coaches, they're approached every day like it was a game. Like, we come into the middle of the huddle for practice, to begin practice. Like, Maccabi on three, I would say game time every time. Mm-hmm. Just start playing practice like a game. Just start working out crazy. Just because I felt like the time was going to come at some point.
But what makes a player of your stature at that time kind of buy in, so to speak, to the team atmosphere? Not that you weren't a team player beforehand.
Yeah.
But this is a whole different role. Or I guess to word the question correctly, what makes a guy like you buy into a new role? It didn't sound like you and Alex were really happy about it.
Nah, not at all. Yeah. I mean, not at all. But it's like, you know, what, you going to be unhappy and show that you unhappy and not play, or you going to be unhappy and try to fix the situation. I've always been one of those guys that thinks that the hard work pays, that it's going to pay off at some point. And, you know, I just kind of changed my approach, watched a lot of film, and, you know, just was like, okay, I can help right here. I can help right there. And then, you know, just start playing with ultimate confidence and not worrying about if I was going to play 5 minutes or 25 minutes. And, you know, I think things started to change from there.
Because I usually talk to people and like, you know, for kids that are growing up and trying to play this game and trying to make, you know, trying to make the next level. You said it all right there. You said it all for a kid that's not getting the time that they need. But it's hard when in group play, y'all go 8-2 and the team looks good. It's a little bit more difficult to take that attitude because you don't have much to say about it. But in the top 16, y'all go 8-6, but it was a battle at the end because y'all were dealing with Galatasaray and Lokomotiv were right behind you.
It was four games by like three or less.
Yeah.
It could have been 12-2 easily.
Right, but you weren't.
right.
But you weren't. So that's kind of where you as a player, you get a little bit more negotiating power, so to speak. And then you go to the playoff, you guys don't have home court advantage. Milan's got home court advantage. You wipe that out. But that's when... that's when you and Alex start hooping. That's when it all.
I think Alex got a player of the month.
Player of the month. Man, I got my job done. Look at you trying. You try to jump to the end of the interview before I get there.
Making sure we got my man AT.
I'm gonna read it right to you. In the top 16, you both start getting a little more time, especially Alex. But during that playoff is when things started to change.
You
averaged 25 minutes a game. Tyus got a little bit more. I believe he was even named MVP of the month. Let me do my damn job, man.
Just making sure you got my man AT in there. That's all.
Hey, you think I'm gonna show up on a Sunday night unprepared?
Come on, man. I already know. I heard it before. I already know.
You get to the Final Four after this Milan thing. I'm thinking as a team, like y'all start connecting at this point. You just want to jump into that Final Four, don't you? I mean, you don't want to wait those 2-3 weeks or whatever that time it was.
No, we want to go.
You want to get it done.
Yeah, we want to go.
Because y'all rolled through that Italy trip.
Yeah.
And then came home and wiped them out.
Yeah.
What was the preparation like beforehand? Because it's about, I'm assuming it was like 17 days probably, more or less.
1 or 2 weeks. About two weeks.
2 weeks. What's preparation like before that with Coach Blatt and it's your first Final Four? What's going on? I mean, is it more intense? Is it kind of the same?
Honestly, we kept it the same. I mean, like I said, we had veteran guys. We had guys understood the situation, and our confidence was high. Everybody on the outside looked at us like, oh, this is underdogs. Like, they don't have a chance.
Yeah,
like,
y'all had no chance.
That's what everybody thought.
Yeah, no chance.
Except for us. Like, that was, like, because we knew everybody in the Final Four, except for Barcelona. Obviously, we never played them. But we played Madrid tough twice. They beat us by one twice, or two the first time and won.
Right.
Cheska blasted us in Moscow, but then we played them tough at home. Mm-hmm. We had switched up a few things and played them really tough at home. I think I blew that game.
I won't ask you.
That's all good. I'm here for the good and the bad.
You won more than enough games. You can blow one.
I ain't tripping. But we had the confidence. Our preparation, you know, we pretty much kept it the same. We knew exactly what we wanted to do, and we knew exactly when we wanted to do it. So I think our preparation was great.
They dominated through
three quarters.
28 minutes. I said 20 minutes. Y'all went like on a 5, and like I think it was a 7-2 run. I'm trying to do my numbers
right.
To end the quarter.
Yeah.
What's it like to go what y'all went through, get there, and you're down 10 going into the fourth quarter, and you've done everything you've had to do to get there, man. And this team, it's not like you were down 10 in the fourth quarter where you guys were up 3, down 4. They dominated the whole game.
For sure.
Anybody who's watching that game is like, y'all ain't got no chance. Yeah. It's over.
Easy 10-12-point win for them.
For sure. What's that like as you're playing? You're like, damn, man, would you rather say, like, I'd rather not be here to go out like this?
Nah, hell no. Because you still got a chance.
But you say that now, but I'm talking about in the moment.
In the moment, we was like, the only thing that we talked about in the huddle, going into the fourth quarter, not the only thing, but
Look at you, man. That's my next question. I love it. You're giving my job done.
What I remember was we wanted to make sure the game was close in the end. If it was a two-possession game with, let's say, 3 minutes left, we knew we had a chance because we knew we had the guys that would be able to
get it done,
that could step up in the moment. Obviously, so they got the guys, but they got a different type of pressure.
Right.
You know, they've been in that situation many times, and it didn't go as planned. So, you know, for us, like, there was no pressure for us. We just out here. We not supposed to be here. We ain't even supposed to be in a two-possession game with 3 minutes left.
Right. If y'all supposed to be out of it a long time
we should have been done. Like, this should be 15-20 point win. Chess could go on and play whoever they was going to play. But, you know, we were confident. Like, we were confident.
What were the timeouts like? Was it pressure? Was
Nah, they were y'all very
just
relaxed.
Like playing your game.
Yeah, they were very relaxed. We were very relaxed. Not they. I'm saying they because I'm talking about the timeouts. But we were very relaxed in the timeouts.
A couple plays. I remember that game. Mm-hmm. A couple of plays I want to talk. Obviously, you played 24 minutes, 13 points, 5 rebounds. I give you all the stats you want, but it was that last basket that put y'all up by one. You Reese being Mr. Clutch again. You know, if I could go back in the day, I would call you Mr. Clutch, but I mean, that's not the best name in the world, but I might give it to you tomorrow night in the game. But I remember you making that basket. Well, first of all, let's go back a step back. Carapa's play, what the hell happened?
Man.
That was like.
I don't know, but I'm glad it happened.
I'm sure you did.
I don't know.
I can still remember him like grabbing and just like kind of, I don't know if he tripped, if it just like slipped out of his hand.
No, he just dropped it.
Just dropped it?
Honestly, he just dropped it. Like I look back at it and I'm looking like, thinking in my head like, what happened? Oh, he threw him a good pass. Nothing was wrong. He just dropped it. It was almost as if he put the ball in his hands and somebody was like, yo.
And somebody just yo-yoed it.
Yeah, like if somebody pulled it away from him. Yeah, like that's what it looked like, really.
It was crazy, man. It was crazy. I remember watching it on TV and I was like, no, I can't believe that happened. So then you go down and score and put the team up one. But Theodosia takes the ball out and finds Sonny Williams, who had a pretty bad game up at this point.
Right.
He couldn't hit anything that day. Yeah.
Had a big bucket though,
and he's got that ball, and he's looking at the basket. And are you thinking like, damn, it's back? He's about to take my glory.
I wasn't even sure, but I would have been so sick. I'd probably still be sick to my stomach to this day if you would have made that shot. Especially, you know, you come back in that kind of fashion to get a basket to go up.
That's the first time y'all led the whole game.
The whole game.
That was your first lead.
Only. The one and only.
It's crazy, man, when you really sit back. There's some crazy stuff that's happened, man, but like that was crazy. Now you go, you win this game, and you see Madrid. Did you watch the next game? Because y'all played at 6, I think it was. You played the first game.
Nah.
Did y'all watch the next game?
Nah.
You don't watch anything else?
Nah. You didn't watch 1 minute.
You don't even watch basketball, do you? Unless you have
all the time. All the time. But I ain't no need for me to watch them play Barcelona.
So you didn't even see them win by 38.
I knew they won by 40.
Of course you knew. Yeah.
I knew that they had killed them, but nah, I didn't watch 1 minute.
I think as I'm going over this in my mind, I'm thinking that helps your team because it deflates. It takes you away from that victory that y'all just had. Kind of deflates that easy feeling about we just won. We're in the finals, and you're like, oh shit, these guys are here to play. We need to ball up. Mm-hmm. Was that something conscious that y'all talked about? Was it?
Nah. I'm telling
everybody
you,
knows they won by 38.
Our confidence was different. Like I'm telling you, like I'm not just saying it because I was on the team, but we knew that we had a chance. We knew, and if I'm telling you the truth, I'm pretty sure Madrid knew that we had a chance because we played them tough twice.
Right.
Like we probably played them tougher than any other team.
They would have. You're saying they would have rather saw Cheska in the finals than you probably.
Well, obviously no, but they knew that we had a chance against them. No matter what was going on in the game, the games were close. Both games was 1 and 2 point games both times. So they knew that we had a chance, and on that stage, on that particular stage, it's just different.
One game.
When the game is close, it's different.
And at that point, you guys had more experience as a team.
Yeah,
They were still a little bit young at the time.
Yeah, I think they, but they won it the next year, I think. Yeah. Or the year after that, something like
I think the next year they lost the, no, they won it the next year
at home.
This game's totally different, though. I'm looking at the stats. There was 19 lead changes, and it was tied 7 times. That was only in the second half.
Right.
That game went back and forth.
That game, great.
It was I was at that game.
That was a great
game. I flew to Milan and checked that game out. Until the 8-minute, 30-second mark of the fourth quarter, that was your first 3-pointer of the night. You had 5 points at that point, up until that 3-pointer. I'll give you some credit. It was only your first attempt. It's not like you were It's not like you were 0 for 4, 0 for 5. It was your first attempt.
Right.
In your mind, with the reputation that you've had and the games that you've played over time, are you thinking it's time for me to take over right now? This got to be my time.
I think the flow of the game was starting to change. We started to be a lot more specific about who we wanted to attack, and that made it more of a game for me and Ricky. And it was, you know, it was that time. I mean, it was that time. It's either you do it now or you don't do it at all. And, you know, with the game going back and forth how it was, we knew that we had to make plays. You know, Rick hit a big three. I hit one. I think maybe we were just, it wasn't so much that we were scoring so much, but we was attacking every time. Like, we were attacking them every single time. So we drawing fouls, we getting shots, like all of that. So
let me go ahead. You got 21 of your 26 points came in the fourth in OT. All right? I'm gonna run over this. I had it written down here. There's a 5-minute overtime period. Everybody knows that. They should know that. If they listen to this program, they don't know it. They need to figure it out. You had a 3-pointer, 2 free throws, another 3-pointer, an assist, 6 free throws in a row. We threw in a little defensive rebound there to help the big guys. I always like that. And you have 4 fouls drawn in that time. That's where all the free throws come from. Just listening to it without watching it, it screams just unstoppable. But I was watching the damn game, man. And why you're going, why you're doing it, and I've had my moments. I've had my moments. While you're doing it, do you know you're doing it? Do you know what's going on? Or are you just in the, just, is it the feel?
It's just a feel. I think it's just a feel. Like, you see what's going on ahead of you, and you kind of got a picture of what it could be like, you know, in the end, and you're just trying to get there. It's like you see the finish line. It's like you see the finish line, and it's like, it's right there. If I just keep attacking, keep attacking, keep attacking, something's got to give. Either they got to stop, or I'm just going to keep going until they stop.
Right.
And, you know, coach was like, keep running. Same, he was like, keep running it, keep running it, keep running. Like,
y'all just kept running.
Come on, let's go. Same play. Let's go, let's go. Like, and we just.
I think y'all run like 3 different variations of the same play.
Yeah, it was.
But just kept attacking from the top of the key.
Just attack it,
yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
But again, was it set for you, or could have been Ricky, could have been anybody?
It could have been Rick, it could have been anybody, for sure.
But it was you, and you've been in that goddamn position so many times, and you've come through, from what I've seen, you've come through every time. There might have been a couple times where
There's
I haven't caught
you. Been some times I make it, yeah, it's for sure.
It's crazy, man. It's what gives you that ability, the mental capacity to do it? Because there's so many players in this league that are damn good players, but they can't do that. Why not?
It's hard for me to speak for another person's mentality, but it sounds cliche, but I'm not scared, you know, to miss a game winner. I never have been.
Mm-hmm.
I never will be. When I was freshman in high school, we were losing the game, and my coach, we were down 2. The coach, like, drew up a play, and he was like, if you get the ball, shoot the 3, go for the win. And I'm looking at him like,
scared.
We got seniors. Like, we got like, we got seniors
it.
On the team. Like, we got different dudes. He looking at me like, listen to me. I don't care. If you get the ball, I want you to go for the 3 ball and try to win the game. I said, all right. And it's crazy how they played, panned out, and I came around to the top. I got the ball maybe like a step in front of the volleyball line, caught it, fired it, and made it. And he just looked at me and was like, just like shook his head.
Well, he probably thought like, yeah, I drew it up that way.
Nah, he was looking at me like, this need to be you. And he said that to me after. He was like, it don't matter what's going on, because I guess he saw something in my personality that I didn't at that time, you know, being that young. He was like, anytime, he was like, I don't care what's going on in the game. I don't care if you won for 30. If you get a chance to win the game, they only going to remember the last shot. They're not going to remember nothing else. You can be 5 for 30 like that game Spanula's was 4 for 20-something. But he had three of them four field goals in the last 3 minutes of the game and won the game.
He had 0 points against Madrid the year before that. Scored 20 in the second.
So, you know, that's all they're going to remember. So it's like you kind of – you know, you put that in your mind.
Did that set a precedent for you, though, that moment? What's the coach's name?
Coach Cave, Randy Cave. Yeah, yeah.
Did that set?
I got his name tatted.
You got him tatted?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get out.
Come on, man. That man did so much for me.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. You never know. People would never understand the impact that he had on my life. He had a crazy impact. He the reason why I got to college.
Were you a bad kid growing up?
No. I wasn't a bad kid. I wasn't getting in trouble or nothing like that. But, no, he was the one that, you know, he made people believe. Like, he forced them to believe. Like, he forced me in situations where he had to make people, you know, believe. He fought for me, you know, nail in the foot. It's crazy.
Isn't it crazy how, and I'm going to go positive and negative here, how someone like that could either make your life or they're in that position to also destroy your life.
Oh, yeah,
because they could, they could turn you the other way, you know what I mean?
No doubt,
They could take all that confidence away from you. That's how That's how much power that a coach has growing up. And when you get a coach like that, man, that's amazing. It sits there, it's like, do your thing. Now, you win this thing. Obviously, you're going to be the MVP. And I go back to, I won this thing way back in 95. Mm-hmm. And I think I sent it, I think I started sending it a trend back then, man. I brought my kid down, who now he lives with me here. I was just with him a little while ago. He's 30 years old. His name is Dane. And I brought him down in the court with me, man, when he was like 5 or 6. And and now I see all you guys, man, copying me from like way back in the day. But yours was different, because I watched the video today, man.
Yeah.
And Ashad was with you, and Jordi Bartomeu, the president of the EuroLeague, is handing you that trophy, and you got your boy just wrapped around you, around your leg, like, man, how damn special is that?
Man, it's a moment. I got a picture of it, probably the size of this one behind you.
Better.
At my house.
I almost brought
that one moment.
My boy Frank Lawler, who's like my man in Yearly, who got me into this whole thing. Hey. He's like, I'm gonna send you a picture. I'm like, no, man, I can't go crying. I can't be in tears when I'm interviewing
honestly,
my boy.
That was that pick that. Moment is, you know, like indicative of, you know, our life. You know, he always been right beside me every moment. So for him to be right beside me in that moment was, you know, it couldn't have been any different.
I know this is a dumb question probably, but that's my job, to ask good questions and dumb questions. What would it have been like if he wasn't there?
He was going to be there. I can't even... He was going to be there.
He was there. Because he was there the whole weekend.
He was there the whole weekend. Yeah. He was going to be there. That was when the game ended. The first person I went, I was like, yo, I found our security guy. Like, yo, go find my mom and my son.
I did.
Immediately. Like, bring them down here immediately. Like, I didn't, everybody run around, jump. I'm like, no, watch out. Move. Go get my people, you know. So, honestly, I can't even answer the question because he was going to be there.
You got, not too many people do this. You got a Champions League MVP award with Brosi, right? Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think I did my work. You won the European Championship. Euro Cup Championship. Mm-hmm. Euro Cup MVP. Mm-hmm. Finals MVP with Kimke. Mm-hmm. Euro League Finals top scorer. Mm-hmm. Euro League Championship and Final Four MVP. Mm-hmm. Now you know why I call you Mr. Clutch, right? I mean, come on, dude. Mm-hmm. It's like every moment you've been in the big spotlight, and I always talk about this, great players doing great things at great moments. It's what you've done over and over again. Because I feel like you've played this game under different circumstances than everybody else has played this game, or most of the people I know that play this game, because you play for somebody. Mm-hmm. You didn't play for yourself.
Correct.
You really didn't play for your team. You played for that little guy that was, you know, born when you were 18 years old and growing up with you. Mm. Is it making more special to have that be a part of like your legacy?
I think what makes it special is the fact that I was so young and he got to see it.
Right.
Like, that's the biggest thing, you know, for me. He was able to come to all these countries. He was able to be there when we won all these championships and MVPs and all this stuff. So he was able to actually watch and see it and experience it with me at the same time.
And he was old enough to know.
He was, yeah, he's old. That's even better, yeah. Yeah, he's old enough to understand exactly, you know, right, what was going on. So honestly, that's the biggest thing. Yeah, yeah, he plays.
Does he?
Yeah, he plays.
Is he good?
Hey, pretty good. He all right. Is? He all right. Yeah.
I love that. Is he a point guard too? Is he hooping?
He'd be more of a two, I think.
He's going to be more of a two? See.
Yeah.
When you had this issue in Barcelona and you took off and you haven't been back to the EuroLeague since then until now, you feel like Panathinaikos took a chance on you?
Yeah.
In what way?
Just not knowing. The only person that really knows me here was Nick. Other than that, well, knew me, you know, coming in was Nick. Everybody else had to go by words of other people. So when you have to do that, then I believe that that's, you know, taking a chance because you personally don't know. You're not sure of, you know, who I am, what type of guy I am. All you know is stories. And if we being realistic, the only stories you know are the most recent ones. And coming here into this situation with them only, you know, knowing that, then, you know, for sure, they took a chance.
So far, it's been worth it, hasn't it?
For them
and for you.
Yeah, yeah, for both parties, for both parties. And that's all I was looking for was an opportunity.
You played in Greece, obviously, way back in the beginning, Panionis. We're finishing up here. Don't worry about it. We'll get you out of here. So you've already known through your years what it's like to play against Panathinaikos, what it's like to play against Olympiacos. Tell me what it was like the first time you put that Panathinaikos uniform on and had to face Olympiacos, man. That game.
Man, that game was crazy.
What is?
Crazy. I mean, just pulling up to the gym was crazy.
That it was at Olympiacos, your first
no,
one?
No, it was at home.
It was at home.
Yeah, it was in Oaxaca. Uh-huh. But like I said, just pulling up to the gym was insane. Like, normally, I get to the gym probably 2 hours before the game. So I'm one of the first ones at the gym. It ain't really nobody in the parking lot, nothing like that.
Right.
We pulled up to the gym. The parking lot was full. There's people walking all around. It probably 1,000 people
already
in the parking lot. I'm like, and these people really out here already? So, you know, by the time I go on the court, it's probably about 10 minutes change, you know, go out on the court, do my, you know, whatever early. I get out on the floor and the gym is half full. I'm like, we don't play for 2 hours. It's like we play at 9:30. It's like 7:30, 7:45.
But that already get your blood flowing, isn't it?
The blood is going. Yeah. Like it's already going. Like you already, you know, you can feel the energy.
You're thinking like, don't get my blood flowing too. I'm 32, man. Don't get my blood flowing too early now.
Because it can't be going up and down. Once it get there, it's got to stay there.
Exactly.
But nah, it was an experience that, honestly, the only other experience that I had in a game that felt like that, you know, that magnitude was playing in the EuroLeague Final Four. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the emotion, you know, that was involved in that game, just with all the people that was there, it was crazy.
Big time players stepping up in big moments in the big stage. Dude, you dropped 41 on them.
Yeah.
You're averaging 10 a game.
Yeah.
You dropped 41 on them.
Yeah.
Talk to me about it. Come on, man. In front of your home crowd.
Man, the energy was special. I'm not one that likes to, I don't really like to talk about myself like situations like that, even if it's like a game like that.
We know one likes to talk about themselves until we have to.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, you dropped 41, like, bro. Come
honestly,
on.
As the game went on, especially in the first half, felt good. Like, it just felt like it was going to be, you know, my day. I didn't think it would be a 40-point day, you know, obviously. Right. But I knew that
nowadays
I would play
in the EuroLeague, 40-point days are few and far between.
For sure.
What,
for
you
sure.
And Shane this year, that's
right.
It.
Right,
I don't even know if it happened last year.
Nah, definitely not.
It's my job to know that, but
yeah,
I don't,
nah, definitely not.
If I don't know
it's
it, I don't
been
think
about
it did.
4 or 5 years since it happened.
Right.
But, you know, just got into his own, and the game was close. So, you know, those shots got a different meaning. You know, it wasn't just having 41 and we won by 15, 20.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's having 40 and you needed it.
You took over.
Yeah, like you needed it. Right. And, you know, we're just trying to step up and make the play.
Here you go, but man, I got a list right here, all decade team. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to ask you to pick 2 1s, 2 2s, 2 3s, 2 4s, and 2 5s. 10 players. Who you got? I got yelled at last week, man, because I accidentally left my boy Spanoulis off the list, man.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, my 2 points is Diamantidis and Spanoulis.
There you go. That's who I had, but I didn't put it in my video, man. It's still killing me.
Juan Carlos. Mm-hmm. I think you got to put Milos on there. Probably as a – okay, let's make Spanoulis a 2.
You can do that.
And let's say Milos and Diamantidis the 2 points.
You on the other list now. You back here. Let me put this up a little bit so I see your.
Nah, I ain't on no decade list.
You on the list?
Nah, not a decade joint. 3s. I'm gonna have to.
That's the hardest position for me.
Like I want to say DeColo. DeColo not a 3, but I want to say DeColo because he got, you know, obviously got 2 championships and he made first team All Euro League 5 times. So I mean, I think. As a 3.
I had him on my list.
I put my man Smitty on there, Devin Smith. And 2 4s. I think I put Kriapa. Kriapa definitely one of the best 4s to play over here.
He's got legacy, man. He's got longevity and legacy.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see, I'm going to go to the 5s. I think I put Kyle on there.
Kyle's got to be on there.
Yeah, I think I put Kyle on there.
My other four, I'll just give you, I'll throw it out. There was no Chione.
I just leaned down and looked at. That's exactly who I just looked at. That's exactly who I just looked at.
I couldn't put an all-decade team without him on
That's exactly who I looked at.
And the other 5, it's just kind of a coin toss.
I want to say Ante. Either Ante or Jan Vesely. They both 3 times first team. They both, you know, got chips. So
come on, juice one, man. So I get you to bed.
I'm going to go Ante.
There you go.
I'm gonna go Ante.
Hey, let's wrap this up. But I read... This might be your last year.
Yeah, possibly.
Your boy's going to be going to high school.
Yeah.
You ready to give it up?
Nah, definitely not. But my family always been bigger, you know, in every situation. My family was the reason why I was able to play. So, you know, I got to be there for my family just in case that's what he wants to do also. Or whatever it is he wants to do. But I got to be there 24/7. And
What do you think you got left in you?
If I were to keep playing?
Yeah.
I'd probably get 2 more, at least.
2 more?
Yeah.
It's hard to walk away, man. It's a difficult game to walk away from, man.
I've been here, and trust me, I'm sure. I mean, I've been doing the same thing for 25 years.
I give you my number, man. If you ever need advice, man, hit me up and call me because it's not easy, man.
I'm going to be taking all the advice I can get.
Yeah. I always say, you know, do this as long as you can, but, you know, certain circumstances always
make things different.
Yeah. Where's home going to be when you go back to the States?
Houston?
Yeah. It's crazy because the situation that you've put yourself into has been a difficult situation for so many years, but it's been a positive situation. Mm-hmm. And the difficulty of it continues now that you're going to have to make a decision on whether to stay out here, bring your kid, you know, mm-hmm. being back in Houston with you. How are you going to attack that decision? Because, I mean, we're coming up to the end of the year and...
Man, honestly, I'm just going
to... It doesn't seem to be made yet.
Nah, it's not made. It's not made. I mean, that's always... My plan has always been to stop playing once he got ready to go to high school. You know,
You've always thought that way?
I've always thought that, okay. Yeah. I've always thought that.
That helps make the decision a little bit easier.
A little bit, but, you know...
But you're playing well now.
Yeah, you just never know. I mean... That's why I can't be like, it's my last year. Like, I'm not going to definitively say that because, you know, maybe an opportunity comes about and it's just something you can't really turn down. So, you know, you kind of got to roll with, you know, you got to roll with the punches and change the plans. But, you know, plan A is to, you know, be home.
Mm-hmm. Last question, last statement, whatever you want to call it. You've essentially said it throughout this hour and 20 minutes we've been together here. I want to give you the last opportunity on my show to give thanks and bring out a couple names or a couple people that have been your team, you know what I mean, behind the scenes, the people that have been so important for you. I know there's a lot of them, man.
Yeah.
And you can give a general comment, but I think it's I think it might be important for you. So I want to give you that little bit of a platform.
Yeah. I wouldn't even know where to start. I'm going to start with my mother first, Allison Crosby. She's the rock of the family. Mm-hmm. She's the one that, you know, kept everything together. My grandparents were there at all times as much as they could be, especially them not being able to, you know, travel as much.
Right.
But still there. Coach Cave, my high school coach.
Tattooed on your arm.
Yeah.
Who else you got tattooed on your arm, man?
Yeah, for sure. He the reason, you know, I look at him and everything that he sacrificed and did, you know, for me, and he's the reason, you know, that I was able to even, you know, have these opportunities.
You still in touch with him?
He died.
Oh, he passed away.
Yeah, he passed away. I'll tell you something crazy. He passed away December 6th, 2005.
Oh, a long time ago.
We played Olympiacos December 6th.
Really?
Yeah. Crazy.
Is that in your mind?
And that was.
Is a date in your mind all the time?
You know what? No. I was doing the interview a few days later, and the guy was like, "Yo, you know what day December 6th is?" And I'm like, "December 6th? I'm like, "Yeah, we just played Olympiacos." But I'm thinking, like, you know, obviously we just played Olympiacos. Yeah. Like, "Well, we just played Olympiacos," whatever. He was like, "Nah. You know what day December 6th is?" I'm like, "What you mean?" He was like, "Let me refresh your memory." He was like, "Your first TV game." I said, "December 6th." I was like, "That was the day Coach K, my coach, died. The first day that I played on ESPN."
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was the day he died. He died that morning.
He died that morning before you went out and played?
Yeah.
And you
maybe
still...
Maybe a few hours, maybe 2-3 hours before.
And you knew about it?
Yeah, I knew. Yeah, I knew. So, him for sure.
It's crazy, man.
Him for sure. Man, I can go on and on, but my family, you know, my closest friends that I'm in communication with daily, you know, they play bigger roles than anybody could ever think. They play bigger roles than they even think, you mm-hmm. know, so really appreciate them, really appreciative, you know, of what they do.
That's the best team you've had then.
Yeah.
In your career, that's probably the best team you've had.
By far.
I call you Reese, I call you Mr. Clutch, I call you whatever the hell I want to call you, because I'm going to call you something tomorrow at the game, man, but... All I could do is tell you how much I appreciate your time, your honesty, and everything, man. I didn't know much about you before I got into this. I just remember that damn game when you dropped 46 on North Carolina, and you got me back into Lake of basketball again. For me to be sitting here talking to you on this night is like an honor for me. So, man, I just want to wish you the best of luck, no matter what you decide on doing. And
I appreciate
thanks
it.
A lot for taking the time.
I appreciate
with me.
You, man. Thanks a lot. Thanks for
thanks
having me.
Thanks a lot for being the crossover. Man.
Thanks, man.
You got it. Thank you, man.
Thanks for listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. If you like what you've heard, subscribe now so you don't miss an episode, and leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also get in touch via Twitter and Instagram at EuroLeague using the hashtag ELCrossover or on Facebook at the EuroLeague.